From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. For groups like the United Tribes of Bristol Bay, the Bristol Bay RSDA, and the Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, the Pebble Mine Project is a lot like Voldemort. At the end of every saga, it seems dead, but yet the tingling feeling at the back of your neck tells you, Pebble will be back. It always comes back. But the United Tribes of Bristol Bay and its allies think they may have found the horcrux that could keep Pebble at bay forever, in the form of a two-pronged approach. At last week's virtual fisheries trade show, Comfish Alaska, they laid out their strategy. KMXT's Dylan Simard has more.
Alaska fishermen almost universally oppose the Pebble Mine proposal. They say runoff from the mine would threaten the health of salmon in the region, and that thousands of jobs in coastal communities would disappear if the salmon stock collapsed. For 15 years now, the proposed mining project has tumbled in and out of the grave. The mine owners are currently appealing the Army Corps of Engineers' decision to reject the project's application, and so the Pebble Mine is in a state of limbo. That's something the United Tribes of Bristol Bay hopes to change. During a panel at the annual Comfish AK show, the tribe's deputy director, Lindsay Leyland, outlined two legal avenues to pursue.
We need something that's going to ensure that the security of the Bristol Bay region lasts forever, that we have permanent protection for our lands, waters, fisheries, people, cultures, now and for generations to come. So back in late 2020, at the end of last year, UTBB, along with other Bristol Bay partners, developed and published The Call to Protect Bristol Bay. And this is a two-part conceptual call, a conceptual ask that includes the EPA veto that we have, that the tribes of Bristol Bay region have been asking for years, all the way back since 2013. And this is the EPA 404C action that could restrict large-scale mining like the Pebble Project in Bristol Bay.
This action would effectively stop Pebble Mine in its tracks. But that's just one mining project in an area rich with ore.
And the second part of that is a legislative approach, basically that Congress, United States Congress, would introduce a bill and pass legislation that would protect the waters of Bristol Bay forever.
That bill would be called the J. and Bella Hammond Fisheries Area Act, named after the late governor of Alaska and his wife, who had a homestead at Lake Clark in the heart of Bristol Bay. For now, United Tribes of Bristol Bay is collecting signatures of fishermen and others who support their effort to kill the mine project, and fishermen enjoy a pregnant pause in the story of the Pebble Mine as they prepare for the summer salmon season. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
Catherine Karskallen is the executive director of the Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay. What is it about the Bristol Bay watershed that makes it deserve special protections and permanent protections?
The Bristol Bay watershed supports a fishery that is the world's largest, longest lasting, and most sustainable salmon fishery in our nation and in the world. And the reason for that, and this has been studied and it's proving itself, and this most recent economic report that came out really shows over the last 10 years how well Bristol Bay is doing, even in comparison to other watersheds in the state. But the reason behind it is just the vast intact habitat and the diversity of that habitat. The University of Washington calls it the portfolio effect, but essentially all these undamaged watersheds can fill in for each other. So outside factors that happen inevitably any given year, there could be more rain or less rain, or a beaver dam might fail, or, you know, climate change, effects of climate change in the ocean. There are all these factors that could affect salmon runs, and having a fully intact watershed that can all work with each other, it's what keeps our watershed sustainable. And just the sheer number of fish that Bristol Bay supports, we produce over half the world's wild salmon supply. And, you know, it's an incredibly important resource, not only especially to local people and Alaskans, but to the whole world. And it's in the nation's best interest to take action to protect that.
Well, you know, the way the fishery is prosecuted, I think, would make some Asian fishermen really slap themselves on the forehead. when they see hundreds of small boats prosecuting a fishery that I suppose they would take one giant drift netter and catch all those fish. Why is the fishery done that way? And what are the benefits that you get from having a small boat fishery?
And you're absolutely right. The fish could be caught in other methods and actually were at one time before Alaska statehood. The fish were caught with fish traps and it was federally managed. And it was a huge part of the impetus for Alaska to become a state. And it's why in Alaska's constitution, sustainable fishery management is a tenet. I personally believe the reason is because you need people to be part of any sort of sustainable equation. And so having the maximum number of fishermen, especially fishermen rooted in the watersheds that are surrounding that fishery and protecting it, that's how you have a sustainable fishery that provides for years to come, rather than having one large corporation that's going to benefit from the harvesting of those fish. That corporation is going to be less concerned about the long-term well-being of that fishery. And it's an interesting comparison when you compare it to a mine that does stand to make a good deal of money off extraction of the resources at Pebble, but that mining corporation is not going to be so concerned with the long-term well-being of the communities in the same way that the fishery is.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
To whoever has a hot mic, we are live streaming at this time.
So that's really cool.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, which recognizes the importance of Alaska's sustainable fisheries to the state's economy.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
So that's really cool.
According to a report prepared by the McKinley Research Group for the Bristol Bay Defense Fund, the annual average harvest for the Bristol Bay salmon fishery from 2015 to 2019 was 218 million pounds, a $263 million value to harvesters. And in recent years, it has accounted for over half the total value of Alaska's salmon. As Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association Executive Director Andy Wink points out, that isn't the only asset at stake.
If there's a problem with Pebble, some sort of accident, whether it affects runs or not, you know, just the consumer perception hit on not just Bristol Bay salmon, but all of Alaska seafood could be extremely damaging. You know, Alaska has a excellent and well-earned reputation in the seafood industry around the world. You know, there is consumer perception risk here, as well as ecological and very real economic risk in terms of, you know, affecting the salmon productivity in Bristol Bay.
I got to sit down on the telephone with Alana Hurley, Executive Director of the United Tribes of Bristol Bay.
We are really, really pushing for an EPA veto under the Clean Water Act to make sure that this project is gone for good.
And that would mean that the project as scoped just simply can't be done responsibly.
Yes. The thinking behind the call to protect Bristol Bay, which Bristol Bay organizations published just in the last, you know, 6 months, is really a two-pronged approach. And the first one is this 404C authority to protect the headwaters of Bristol Bay, recognizing that this type of development in that area is just not conducive to strong and healthy salmon runs. And so the second part of that call to protect Bristol Bay is congressional legislation. And that really takes a much more a broad approach, looking at the overall picture of Bristol Bay salmon in its entirety. And so you know, while the 404C would be focused on the headwaters, we're hopeful that legislation could really look at Bristol Bay as one system and put protections in place for the entirety of the Bristol Bay watershed. It wouldn't prohibit any type of activity at all. The way that it's detailed in the call is utilizing the restrictions on hard rock mining that were considered under the Obama administration, but really just saying that if, you know, you're going to consider this type of development, it can't exceed these standards in order to protect salmon. And any other type of development that's going to be considered needs to weigh its impacts on salmon habitat in that process. You know, the 404C looks at the headwaters and protects the headwaters because that is specific to the science that's been done, the years of review, the Pebble Limited Partnerships permit application. 404C action would address that. Legislation then, and what we're asking for is, you know, to protect the broader Bristol Bay watershed. And basically, you know, if you're going to make decisions about what type of development is appropriate in this area, you have to have a fish first mentality. And so fish need to be considered in these permitting decisions, which is not current, you know, not the current way things are done.
Okay, I think I'm getting closer now. So basically what you're asking the EPA to do is to protect the clean water through the Clean Water Act. And what you would ask Congress to form would be legislation that protected the entire ecosystem, if that's not too broad a word, and that would overlay any permitting process that occurred after that.
Yes. So the EPA action that we're asking for would specifically address the Pebble headwater area for that specific permit area that they had talked about. The congressional legislation is a much broader look at, you know, creating a national fisheries area that recognizes the value and importance of salmon and, you know, basically applies those earlier restrictions that the EPA said were needed to protect salmon within the watershed. And beyond that, says if you're going to, you know, have dredge and fill permits within this area, you have to consider salmon. And that doesn't mean that permits are going to be necessarily granted or denied based on those considerations, but it has to be a part of the conversation. We should not be impacting wetlands and impacting salmon habitat without truly looking at how those impacts affect salmon in Bristol Bay. But, I really want to clarify, though, that doesn't mean there'd be a prohibition on those type of permits whatsoever. It would really be just making sure that salmon are part of the picture when you're considering development and whether or not it should move forward.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Thanks this week to KMXT's Dylan Simard and to Catherine, Andy, and Alana for daring to speak to me. Don't forget, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is meeting online this next week.
Anyone else on that topic? Sounds like we can leave that alone for now. Since the SSPT has been doing it. So I guess, yeah, those are just...